Good morning. I've been instructed to make a correction to the announcements. The Man Alive session is actually going to be about knitting needles, Hummel figurines, and tea cakes. Nah, I'm just kidding. Can't tell you what a great sense of pleasure I have to welcome the new pastor and wife, and Sally Fry, who works with me on placements. We kind of have this burden on our souls until God shows his plan. And in the meantime, you know, we just keep thinking, are we doing everything we can do to bring this to pass? And so we're very glad for this. And now there's others that we have on our souls. Oswego Alliance Church is one, Vestal Alliance, and Owego is actually candidating someone today, so we're praying about that very much. Very glad for that. What is an installation service? An installation service is different from an ordination service. Ordinations and consecrations basically are about the individual, and in the Alliance anyway, we use the term ordination for men who are in ministry, and we use the term consecration for women who are in ministry, and that basically means the church is recognizing God's lifetime call on an individual. And so we, as a rule, you'll see that when we call them up for the ordination or consecration prayer, it is a team if they're a couple, but it is primarily about the individual being ordained or consecrated. Now, installation is something different. Installation is the setting apart of, in this case, a couple for this ministry, and it is very specific to this church, this moment, this place, and this time. So, we see in the book of Acts that God kind of combined them both when he said, set apart for me Paul and Barnabas, and then send them. First missionary call. So it really included both an ordination and an installation at the same time. So that's what we're doing here today. We are doing an installation service and very glad for it. I'm going to be reading to you our text for today, which is from Exodus chapter 18, verses 1 through 18. Now Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moses and for Israel, his people, how the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took Moses' wife Zipporah after he had sent her away, and her two sons, of whom one was named Gershom, for Moses said, I have been a sojourner in a foreign land. The other was named Eleazar, for he said, the God of my father was my help, and he delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife to Moses in the wilderness where he was camped at the Mount of God. He sent word to Moses, I, your father-in-law Jethro, am coming to you with your wife and her two sons with her. Then Moses went out to meet his father-in-law, and he bowed down and kissed him, and they asked each other of their welfare and went into the tent. Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, all the hardship that had befallen them on the journey, and how the Lord had delivered them. Jethro rejoiced over all the goodness which the Lord had done to Israel in delivering them from the hand of the Egyptians. So Jethro said, blessed be the Lord who delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians and from the hand of Pharaoh, and who delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all the gods. Indeed, it was proven when they dealt proudly against the people. Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and sacrifices for God. And Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat a meal with Moses' father-in-law before God. It came about on the next day that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood about Moses from the morning until the evening. Now when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he was doing for the people, he said, what is this thing that you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge, and all the people stand about you from morning until evening? Moses said to his father-in-law, because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a dispute, it comes to me, and I judge between a man and his neighbor and make known the statutes of God and his laws. Moses' father-in-law said to him, the thing that you are doing is not good. You will surely wear out, both yourself and these people who are with you, for the task is too heavy for you. You cannot do it alone. David. Pastor David Hedin from our Boonville Alliance Church, just a little bit north of here. Go there if you want snowmobiling, skiing, and chainsawing, which is many of the good things Boonville's noted for. And he is actually the head of what we call a coaching cluster, which is a gathering of local pastors in the Alliance anyway, who get together for mutual encouragement and for training and different things like that. So he's going to come as the head of that group and bring the Word of God to us.
Thank you. Well, good morning. It is good to be here. We left snow in Boonville and are glad to be here in the where it's warm in the south. Do you know what you're getting into up here? You're fortunate. We get about 100 inches more snow a year than Syracuse does. And so we say it tongue-in-cheek that we just left snow, but the reality is it's still there in the shade. But one of the things that we did learn as we came to Boonville was that you can't go it alone. We need each other in community. And we found out in our first winter or so that we look out for each other. And that was a little different coming from Ohio, where everybody seemed to be their own little entity and enjoyed life on their own terms. But up in Boonville, we learned we need to look out for each other, because you don't know where that slippery road is going to take you, what snowbank you might end up in, or a walk down the sidewalk could end up in a trip to the hospital. We had a neighbor across the street who was out putting salt on her icy sidewalk, and I was clearing our driveway, and next time I looked down our driveway, I saw her flat on her back looking up. And my son and I went over, picked her up, carried her in the house, and settled her down. She called her husband and went to the hospital. She was fine, but it knocked the wind out of her. But we learned that we need to take care for each other and invest in one another, spend time caring, developing those relationships so that we can carry the load together. Now, I'm not talking about snow removal. I'm talking about life in the church. Following Christ is wonderful. It's great to worship Him and praise Him and to know Him. But it's also hard, isn't it? There are times when it's very challenging. And as a minister, Tony, you're going to hit those walls every so often, and you probably have already. Maybe not here in Syracuse, but in other areas. Moses has given us a lot to think about, as was recorded here in Exodus 18. And as we take a look at the things that Moses has for us, I want to hit four different points, the first of which is the importance of your call. Now, I'm going to speak more directly to Pastor Tony, but all of you have received a call from the Lord Jesus to follow Him, and so these principles apply to you as well. Is if you've heard the voice of the Lord, you need to follow Him. You need to follow Him. And there are times where the call upon God for our lives, for our ministry, leads us into places that are very difficult, very trying, that tax us, that bring us to the end of our resources and abilities. But Moses, when he got to the end of his resources and abilities, where did he turn? God, why did you bring us out here? Why have you called me to lead these people? What do you want me to do? And at each instance, God said, well, what's that in your hand? Take that staff hold it over the Red Sea, and the sea opened and parted. Close the Red Sea. Take that staff, strike the rock. Water will come forth. And in our calling, there is a dependency upon God that we have to nurture. Because in our society, in our lives, especially as Americans, we are loners. We tend to be. We tend to do things on our own and depend upon ourselves. My wife, she teaches migrant students and often English language learners. And she was sharing of one of the first American phrases, U.S. phrases that he learned. He says, "I got this. I got this." And it just goes to show how ingrained that is in us as people. I've got this. And we don't need to depend on someone else. But in ministry, as in all of life, we need to depend on Jesus for everything. For everything. Because He will give us the answers that we need if we really seek Him out. He will give to us the direction He wants us to take in order to bring Him the greatest glory and the greatest benefit to the body of Christ. And so Moses was true to his call. And as he led the children of Israel out of Egypt and into this area of waiting, he looked at what God had done. When his family caught up with him, his father-in-law Jethro, they sat down and Moses recounted all of God's wonderful miracles that he did on behalf of the children of Israel. He took them from slavery and set them free. He saw their needs and he provided. They were wandering, and He was leading them to the promised land, just as He is with us. Hold tenaciously to the call and the vision that God gives to you. As God directs your path, look to Him to resource it. Look to Him to give to you the energy, direction, and guidance so that you know clearly this is the way in which I should walk. Sometimes we put the cart before the horse and we have the vision and we just jump out and we start pursuing it. We see what we want to happen and we chase after it. But as we look at the life of Moses, we see him coming and seeking God's face. Lord, okay, you want me to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt? How do you want me to do that? And God said, I will show you. And He gave to him each step. And as each step was revealed, Moses then took action. And in our own lives, there are times where we don't know what to do. We kind of know where we want to go. But we need to be careful that we don't jump ahead of God and miss out on God's best. Secondly, we see the importance of empowering others for ministry. And I'm going to jump down just a little bit in the text here. Moses, when he took his seat in verse 13, to judge among the people, they brought their cases to him, and he was the judge. As he listened, he was discerning and seeking God's desire and will for the outcome of these particular cases. And with this many people, Moses was overwhelmed from morning till night. And Moses, fortunately, had a father-in-law who wasn't afraid to speak out. And he asked Moses, what's this that you're doing? And Moses said, well, the people have issues. They have problems. And they need help. They want to know what God's desire and design is for this and what the outcome should be. And so they come to me. After he's explained that, Jethro says, you know, Moses, what you're doing is not good because you're going to wear yourself out and then you're going to be no good for the people. It is not good for you to do this alone. And ministry can be a very lonely place for your pastor. He has a great mantle of responsibility upon his shoulders. And Pastor Tony, sometimes for us as leaders, it's easier to do it ourselves than to explain this is what we need to do, and we just step out and do it. And in so doing, we may get the job done, but we are robbing the body of Christ from growing as followers of Jesus, growing in their dependence upon God, because we're doing the work. And so we need to share the work with others. We need to be able to hand off and train in ministry. This is how we want to take steps to make this happen. So in whatever area of ministry that you want to open up or to grow and develop leaders in, you can lead the way, absolutely. But lead with someone beside you so that you can hand responsibility and grow mature disciples of Jesus Christ and raise up leaders here in the body of Syracuse Alliance. Are there leaders here?
Yes.
Absolutely. Are there leaders blooming? I hope so. And I hope so that there are some in the bud stage, that you're just getting started and you want to know what this is about. And so Moses listened to his father-in-law. His father-in-law, we didn't read this portion, but he said, divide the people, pull out leaders, godly men from among you, and give to them responsibilities, hundreds and fifties and tens, and show them, teach them, train them, so that you're not having to carry all of this. And in so doing, we see basically a court system, a leadership system in which people can grow and depend upon the power of God to be at work in them and through them. And that is a wonderful place to be as a pastor, to be able to release ministry, to give responsibility, and to see your congregation blossom as they follow Jesus. And that's what was happening with Israel. I'm going to jump back just a few minutes here, or a few verses, let me continue with that section there. One thing that jumped out about Moses was that he was a lifelong learner. He was willing to learn. And that's an attitude of the heart that sometimes is more difficult to nurture, especially as we get older. But how old was Moses here? Anybody know? 80 years old. You know, who said you can't teach an old dog new tricks? You know, Moses was listening to the Lord. He was listening for God's input from wherever God was bringing it. In this particular instance, it was through his father-in-law. And he listened, and it made sense. And being a lifelong learner, we look for sources of not just information, but wisdom. And I want to encourage you to look at the sources that God has placed around you here in Syracuse Alliance, in the ministerium, in the district, and nationally. We've got a lot of resources as the CMA. Draw upon those. Call people. Ask, can I use you as a sounding board for just a few minutes? I've got an issue I need to talk through. And in so doing, listen for the voice of God. Be a lifelong learner. And be open to learning from the various groups or different people that God may use. God may use one of your youth or one of your kids to teach you a profound lesson. Learn it. Grow from one another. You know, the scripture tells us that we are members of each other as the body of Christ. And as members of each other, we have the responsibility to invest. And investing is sharing wisdom, sharing our lives, sharing our knowledge, sharing who we are. And in so doing, you don't know how deeply and wonderfully you may bless someone. So invest. Now I want to jump back to verses 2 through 12. And in this, I just want to take a moment to focus on family. Moses has been separated from his wife and two children. They have gone back to live with her father while he was carrying out the plagues and bringing the children of Israel forward. And now it's time for reunion. While there may be a season in ministry for separation, God didn't intend it to be that way as a long-term state. And there will be times where, Tony, you will seem estranged from your family and wife for short periods, hopefully, but always come back. The importance of family is incredible. You know, Moses, when he heard Jethro was coming, what did he do? He went out to meet them. He was so excited to have his family back, to have his wife with him, to see his two boys again. This was a wonderful reunion. And per their culture, Jethro is the main one who is highlighted here in the discourse. But in it all, he is enjoying the restoration of his family, of loving his wife, loving his children, embracing them, holding them, catching up with what's going on. And so protect your family. Treasure your wife. Honor her, cherish her, spend time with her. You know, if you need to, put an appointment in your appointment book, Christy time, and guard it. Guard it. And you need to allow him to guard that time. Because if he's healthy at home, he's going to be healthier here. But if he is miserable at home, it's not going to be a great blessing for the church. So encourage their relationship. And also take time to worship the Lord with your family. You know, in this passage of Scripture, they offered sacrifices, and then they sat down to a meal together with all the elders. And it was a time of worship, a time of spiritual unity that they were experiencing. And I believe that the family was very close by, watching, witnessing. I really enjoyed being here this morning during the worship time. Normally, I'm leading worship, and my wife's on the piano, and my kids are out there, and we're not together. But this morning, I got to sing praise to God holding my wife's hand. How wonderful! How wonderful! So treasure those times. Make those times. And you will be a man who is blessed. As we honor God, we listen to His voice. As we seek to share the ministry and the calling that God has with us, we can't do it in a vacuum. God has placed you in a family to lead your family, to grow them, to nurture them, and for them to be a blessing to your church as well. Last point. In verses 24 through 26, the Scripture tells us what Moses did. Moses listened to his father-in-law and did everything he said. He chose capable men from all Israel and made them leaders of the people, officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. They served as judges for the people at all times. The difficult cases they brought to Moses, but the simple ones they decided for themselves. Then Moses sent his father-in-law on his way, and Jethro returned to his own country. And as a church, be used of God. Be available. When your pastor comes to you and says, you know, I was praying about this particular thing, and your name, your face came as I was praying about this ministry task. And I think God may be asking, would you be willing to teach this class or to lead this small group or to head this particular aspect of the ministry? Or just to serve in a certain way that maybe you never have before. One of the greatest blessings that I've ever received and how I got into ministry initially was when I first said, yes, I will help out with the youth group. I am not a people person. I'm not a public speaker. And God said, if you're willing, I'll use you. And I said, well, I'm willing, use me. And when I said that, I began to understand the connection between serving the Lord and growing as a follower of Christ. There's a direct connection. And as I sought to please my Lord with my service, I started growing as an individual, following Jesus and falling more in love with Him every day. And if you want to grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ, if you want to nurture that fellowship with Him and with one another, when the church leadership and Pastor Tony says, would you mind or would you consider serving in this capacity for this period of time? Say yes. Say yes, and you will see God work miracles in your life. Because He is calling you to something you've never done before, maybe something you're never comfortable with, and God says, I will do it through you. You know, Moses, when he was at the burning bush, his complaint to God was, well, you know, who am I? And he stuttered. He had a speech impediment. Who am I? And what did God say to him? Who made the mouth? Who made the mouth? And if I made your mouth, Moses, I can use you, even if you stutter the rest of your life. I can use you and be glorified through you. Each of you has gifting from God to use in the life of the church. Give glory to God as you come together, serving under the leadership of Pastor Tony. And God will open up the storehouse of heaven as He brings His blessing to the Syracuse Alliance Church. I want to close with the illustration that kind of wraps everything together about doing it on your own. And why not to do it on your own. This is a response to an insurance company. A fellow is recovering from wounds he'd received on the job. He is a bricklayer and had finished laying the bricks. He'd put a beautiful chimney on the house and had about 500 pounds of bricks left over. He had set up a little system in which he winched things up to the top and then let them back down, and he thought, I'm going to take care of this all in one go. He tied the barrel to the rope, and he pulled it up, secured it at the bottom, went up to the top of the house, and he loaded there about 500 leftover bricks, 500 pounds of bricks into that barrel. And he dutifully climbed down and went down to the bottom, untied the rope. And he said, if you will look on my insurance claim form on line 11, my weight is 135 pounds. And so as soon as I untied that rope, phew, there he went, and the 500 pounds of bricks came flying down. About halfway up, he met the barrel of bricks, and that explains the contusions on his upper body. And then when he got to the top, he got his fingers jammed into the pulley. And he said, but I had the presence of mind not to let go. But then, that 500-pound barrel of bricks hit the ground and the bottom came out of the bricks, came out of the barrel. The barrel, now devoid of bricks, weighed only 75 pounds. Note line 11 of my weight, and immediately I started descending, and I met the barrel on the way up. That explains the break in my leg and the cut on my side. I landed on the bottom, the pile of bricks. That explains the fractures to my vertebrae and my two ribs. But I'm sad to report that I did lose my sense and I let go of the rope. Ow. So the reason for my accident is I tried to do it alone. I tried to do it alone. It's more of a task than it appears. And following the Lord in ministry is a tremendous task, a tremendous privilege, and a tremendous joy. But it is difficult at times. And Pastor Tony, you need your church. And they need you. Let us pray together. Father, we thank you so much for your kindness in bringing Pastor Tony here. We ask, oh God, that through his ministry, Lord, you will bring great blessing. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. I have been asked to give a response to the call, the charge that Pastor David has just shared with us and with me. And I've looked over Exodus in the process this week in praying. And it is a kind of terrifying at times to be following the Lord, to obey him. Kind of wonder what Abraham must have thought when the Lord said, go to a place that I will show you. Leave what you know. But it's more terrifying to not obey God. And as I respond to Exodus 18, I don't want to just respond in saying, I will, but I also at the same time want to give a charge to the congregation. And as I read in Exodus 18 and the chapters before and after, what the Lord said to me this week was, number one, to tell the congregation, I will lead us. By the grace and the mercy of Christ, I will lead us into the presence of God. If you read in chapter 20, Exodus 20, at the end of the Ten Commandments, in verse 18, when the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, speak to us yourself and we will listen. But do not have God speak to us, or we will die. So when Moses goes up to the mountain, the presence of the Lord comes down, and it burns with fire, and smoke billows up like a furnace. And the Lord had told the people, prepare yourselves, but also gave them a distance to stay. But God's intent was not to not reveal himself to his people. And Moses said, and his father-in-law tells him, you are to be an example. You are to lead and represent God to the people and lead them, but to be an example to them. And at this moment, they were saying, you know what, Moses? We don't want to hear God for ourselves. We want you to go and talk to God and then come and tell us what God has said. And that goes back to what I said last week. I respond to the call of God to lead you into the presence of God, but not to be a church where we come every Sunday and say, Pastor, we want you to go into your study. We want you to go into the prayer closet and then show up on Sunday and tell us everything God has told you. I want to lead a church where I can say, together, walk alongside of me as I lead you into the tent of meeting. As I lead you into what it is to experience and hear the voice of God for yourselves, will you follow? I'm asking you, amen. Will you follow? Will you walk alongside me into the tent of meeting, into the Holy of Holies? And in this passage, the call to empower you. By the mercy and grace of God, I will lead and empower you. In chapter 18, God, Jethro's father-in-law, and it's interesting, my father-in-law is here today. Kind of
Now, I know that there was that one moment where you said, do everything he tells you. I don't know if that applies, but... but after chapter 20, Moses is on the mountain. And over these 40 days and 40 nights, God is unloading them all of these instructions. And if you flip through the pages with me, you'll see he gives them instructions on the Ark of the Covenant, on preparing the annual feast and the offerings and the sacrifices. The chapter 25, the table that is to be prepared, the lampstand, the tabernacle, the altar of burnt offerings, the courtyard, all of these instructions, the ephod, the priestly garments, and how they are to be elaborately designed. And then you get to chapter 31. And he tells him this in chapter 31. The Lord said to Moses, see, I have chosen Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and have filled him with the Spirit of God and wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, and with all kinds of skill to make artistic designs for the work in gold, silver, and bronze, and to cut stones. And look at verse 6. Moreover, I have appointed Oholiab, son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, to help him. And listen to this. Also, I have given ability to all the skilled workers to make everything I have commanded you. So Moses is getting all of these instructions for the tabernacle and the ark and the priestly garments. And God isn't saying, right, Moses, I've given this all to you. Now go and do it yourself. Then at the end of all of that, he says to him, I have put my spirit in them so that the people now can come and with that ability give you. And I thought of this. Some of us have ability and skills that we use outside of church in our professions. That God is saying, and I am calling you to say, leverage that for the kingdom. We have business-minded people who know how to run companies, but they just come and sit in church and don't apply the same skills and abilities they have secularly for the kingdom of God. And some of you guys are probably saying, but I don't have the skills. I don't have that training. I don't have that kind of career. And listen to what he says. It's not your ability that gives you his spirit, but it's his spirit that gives you ability. And that's worth writing down, I think. If you've taken notes, you should write that down. It's not your ability that God says, "Ooh, I'm going to put my spirit in you because you got a lot of talent." No, it's his spirit that gives you talent and gives you ability. The word of God says, what have you received, O man, that you have not received from God? I mean, LeBron James is a great physical phenomenon, right? But he doesn't have anything that God did not give to him. Everything is a gift of God. So I will lead and empower you and free you to do the work. But the question is this. It's not an issue of being capable. The issue isn't, do you have talent? Do you have something to offer? You do. The issue is, and the question is, are you willing and available? So let me ask you, will you serve alongside me? And then, obviously, we know that Moses is leading them into the promised land. But I don't want to talk about the promised land. I want to talk about the battle to get the promised land. Because we want the promised land, but remember, when Israel gets to the border of the promised land, they have to fight for it. There are sons who left who never came home. There were husbands who left who did not come back at the end of the battle. At the cost of their blood and their children, they won the promised land. Right? So, I believe God is saying, and I am saying here to you, I will lead us by the grace and the mercy of God, lead us into the battle that is before us for the city. I don't want to talk about the promised land. I want to talk about the battle. And the first battle is the battle of our past. Because the first battle Israel had to endure was the battle of Egypt chasing them down. And even after God destroyed Pharaoh and the Egyptian army in the flood, they still couldn't get past their slavery mentality. because it goes on and it says that they Moses led them to the edge of the promised land. And God was ready to give the promised land to that generation. But they didn't believe. And because they didn't believe, God gave it to their children. Because they couldn't stop seeing themselves as slaves. So the first battle that we need to face is the bondage and the lies and the sin. And that's where, when in Isaiah, when Jesus begins and he reads in the synagogue, he reads Isaiah 61, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captives and release from darkness to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and the garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor." And 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 5 says, "The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, we have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." And as I was praying this week and thinking through this, and I just thought, Lord, you have given us the weapons that we need to demolish. I love that word. To demolish the strongholds over our lives, over our families, and over our cities. Why aren't we using them? That goes back to the first point. Because we use them as we enter into the presence of the tent of meeting and the presence of God. Because we don't fight with flesh and blood. We fight with principalities and powers in dark places. And there's going to be a cost. Will you follow? And the last thing that I see in this is, I say, Lord, by the mercy and the grace of God, I will lead us to empower and raise up the next generation. We will either believe God or die in the desert. That was the alternative. Believe me and enter the promised land or die in the desert. We will either believe God or die in the wilderness. But God raised up the next generation. And maybe all of those who didn't actually go into the promised land, but they had 40 years to prepare that generation. I know they were shepherds, but I want you to think about what a terrifying group of shepherds they were. Because they had a deadline. They had a timetable. They knew in 40 years, we're going in the promised land. So all of their children, as they were being born and reared, they were telling them, we got 35 years, we're going in the promised land. 20, 10, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Next year, they were born knowing a fight was coming. And for years then, when they were play fighting with swords, it was not for fun alone. They knew they were going into that promised land. This generation was bred and built to trust God and for battle. So I believe God is leading us to honor the Calebs in this generation and in this church. The Calebs who say, I am 80 years old and I am just as strong and ready to fight as I was when God gave us the promise. But the promised land, I believe God is raising us up to be those who empower the next generation. And see the curses over them broken. So I will lead us by the grace and mercy of God to empower this next generation. Will you follow? Amen. Pastor.
I'd like to invite the elders of the church and any pastors. Reverend Lynn, I'd like to invite your wife to join us. Do Doing an installation like this is so much easier than installing a dishwasher. So much more meaningful, too. We have the wonderful blessing of praying over you and Christy and asking the Lord to utilize you however He wants to bring you glory. And I sense from your response that you're willing to follow wherever the Lord leads and obey. And so we're just affirming that as we agree with the call of the church upon your life to come minister here, to lead us. And as a representative of the coaching cluster, we usually have 10 or 12 other pastors with us, but because it's Sunday morning, you've got me. So we would like to pray and invite you to lay hands on the couple here, and as you feel led, please pray out, and I'll bring us to a close.
Father God, thank you. Thank you so much, Lord God, for Tony. Thank you that you've drawn him here to Syracuse. Thank you for Christy. Thank you that they were 18. Thank you for their family. Thank you, Lord, how you are leading him and guiding him, just directing him. I pray that you'll be leading us to follow him, that you'll be giving him wisdom, direction, ways in which that we can reach our city and that we can be just used by you. Pray that you can enable each of us to empower others. Pray that you'll be just giving us guidance and wisdom as we go forward. Pray for the issues that can come up, from family to distractions, not spending time in your word. But I pray that you can enable Tony to just look to you, Lord, to spend time in your word, to be guided by you, that he can be just praying and being led by you as we follow.
Yes.
Just thank you, Lord, for him.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for Pastor Tony, Lord, that you chosen this path for him to be a part of Syracuse Lions Church, him and Christy, Lord, and we just thank you for that. Lord, we pray that as his ministry here, that, Lord, we just have the presence of the Lord with him as he follow you and lead us to wherever that is, Lord, that you have on his heart, that we could come before him and listen to what he has to say and to follow him and to what he has for this church. Lord, we pray that we will turn over to you our hearts of asking you to deliver this person to us. And Lord, we thank you, you have, and we thank you so much for that. Lord, we pray that you would just be that church will just go be a part of the community, Lord, that will be this beacon here, that will be there for people to come and be ministered to. And we just thank you for him and Christy to be a part of this church. We just thank you in Jesus' name.
And Father God, we just come before you and we thank you for your eternal purpose that is going to be played out with this couple and with us, and with your unfailing purpose. We also pray, Father, for your presence to be with us and with them, and the path that you've chosen for us. I pray, Father, that we would be content in that path and that we would rise up and join together with you to follow what you would have for us to do. And we just lift this up in Jesus' name.
Father, we know the task before them is hard, and also there are many dangers in the road, certainly ahead. And we pray that we as people may join together in prayer forming a shield of protection on this couple, that as this church goes forward, it may make significant advances here in Syracuse, and significant advances for the kingdom of God and against the kingdom of darkness. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ.
Heavenly Father, we love you and thank you, Lord, that you have chosen him for us. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jesus, for sending him to us. Thank you, Jesus, for sending him to lead us in spiritual way, Lord. We want your wisdom and power of the Holy Spirit upon him all the time. All the time when he leads us. Lord, bring him the Holy Spirit to guide him, to lead his people. You are amazing God, and we love you for this, that you have chosen him and you have given him to us. Thank you, Jesus, for this. Be with him and be with us so we can walk along with him in Holy Spirit. In your precious name, we ask this prayer. Amen.
Father, we thank you for the light of Christ that dwells in each believer here. And I thank you, Lord, for the light of Christ in Tony and Christy. And I thank you, Lord, that you have called him to be a lens in the lighthouse, to focus the light that you've provided here, to reach this community, to dispel darkness, to stand and come against evil in the name of Jesus, setting people free that they might know the living God and to no longer be slaves. Father, we ask your blessing and anointing on Tony as we officially install him as the pastor here. Lord, we agree with your call. We agree, Lord, knowing that you have enabled him. And Father, as he depends on you, may you shine brightly in and through him as he leads this church. To the glory of God, we pray. Amen.
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 Christy knows I don't do hugs, so I don't do hugs. Anyway, normally we do not do a second offering in our church, and I don't know if we ever have, but this is a different day. Today is a day when we're going to have a love offering for Christy and her family. This is a time for us to try to share with them the responsibilities, the burden of moving into the large parsonage. There's a lot of things that have to be organized, a lot of things have to be done. A lot of the facilities have been improved, but there's a lot of things that have to do with moving in. And so the ushers are going to come forward, and we will be doing an offering. But the thing is that you don't have to put something into the offering. You can send them a note. You can give them a call. You can invite them over for dinner, for lunch, for something else. But just that you can welcome them for Tony, Antonio, Julie, Christy, and when the rest of their family comes up to visit, to welcome them as well. But we really want to do this in a way by which that we can be welcoming them to our church.
Amen.
Let me just pray. Father God, I do thank you. Thank you that we have Tony and Christy here, their family here. It's our new senior pastor. Thank you for that. I pray that you help them as they move in, they continue to move in, get settled in the parsonage, that you enable them to do this smoothly so that they can easily minister to our church and our community. Pray that you bless this offering and just that you'd be blessing them this morning. I pray this in your name. Amen.